It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.
Welcome back to the MLB.com Ballpark Dimensions podcast. I'm your host, Mike Petriello, a writer and analyst for MLB.com, joined again by Matt Myers, MLB.com national content editor. We're going to get into our free agent predictions game today. We're going to go through the top 20 free agents as listed on our website, MLB.com, and Matt and I are going to make some predictions about where they may end up signing. First, there is a little bit of breaking news. The Angels finally have a general manager. This was confirmed just a few minutes ago. After the Angels dismissed Billy Epler from the job, they have now hired from the Atlanta Braves Perry Minassian. He is going to be a first-time general manager. The Angels are, I guess, always mad an interesting team because you always have to start with the fact that they have Mike Trout, who is obviously truly elite, the best player in baseball pretty much every year as far as I'm concerned. They have big names. They have Shohei Ohtani. They have Joe Adell coming up. They still, they've had Andrelton Simmons, they've had Justin Upton, Albert Pujols. Where do you think that he can go with this, right? Like, the Angels have always been a tough team where we've talked a lot about how stars and scrubs doesn't work so much in baseball. Like, the best teams have stars and depth, and yet the Angels never seem to have that.
You also, by the way, you forgot to mention Anthony Rendon, who might actually be the best player last year.
He's also good.
Yes, exactly. Like, depth has become the thing that, you know, that's basically what the Dodgers sort of have become, the archetype of what every team wants to be, of like stars and depth. And the Angels have just had a heck of a time filling out the bottom of their roster. It's just every year it seems like whatever they try, it just does not work. It is going to take some work for Minassian here because, you know, they have the stars. Amazingly, this is finally the final year of Albert Pujols' contract. So that's been kind of looming over the teams for about 8 years. And it was a 10-year deal. So basically, it's looked like a pretty big disaster since after year one or so. But that changes the long-term outlook for the club in terms of what they can spend and what direction they can go. So at least he'll have a little more sort of like long-term, presumably a little more like long-term financial freedom in that respect, because they won't be, you know, sort of like earmarking $30 million for a first baseman who can't really hit anymore. So I think there's an expectation they're going to be players in the free agency market because they're always kind of players in the free agency market, but I don't really know who the best fit is. I guess, you know, we'll get to our free agent predictions in a bit, but they've been, you know, I've heard Trevor Bauer's name linked there because they need pitching. But then again, kind of everyone needs pitching.
Yeah, they always need pitching. Like, always need pitching. I think one of the few bright spots for them this year was that they turned Dylan Bundy from, you know, a guy, a lowercase g, into a guy, like a capital G. You know, like, that's kind of been their problem over the years, is their best players have been high draft picks or highly priced free agents. They haven't really found, like, you know, their Max Muncy type, you know, the kind of guy they get off the scrap heap and improve. Like, the, you know, the Yankees have done well with that. The Dodgers have done well with that. The Angels haven't really done that so much. Perry Minassian, by the way, has a really interesting family story. His dad, Zach, ran the Texas clubhouse. He was the clubhouse manager for the Rangers for, I guess, about 20 years. And so Perry and his brother Zach kind of grew up in the clubhouse, which is kind of a really interesting way to have a childhood. And I believe Zach is now the director of scouting for the Giants. So there's like a real baseball family. I'm kind of quickly scanning a three-year-old story here from Mark Bowman, who was our Braves.com beat reporter, where he points out that 10 years ago at Thanksgiving in 2010, Zach and Perry were each directors of scouting for the clubs they were on, and they had to step away from Thanksgiving turkey to discuss the framework of a deal which eventually became Sean Markham for Brett Lowry, which is kind of a fun family way to spend Thanksgiving. All right, well, that's cool. The Angels finally have someone, and just get Mike Trout to the playoffs. Like, that's all I've ever wanted, is just get the man to October. Like, we talk a lot about, is he famous enough? Do enough people know who Mike Trout is? The number one reason, above all reasons, that he is not famous enough is because the team is never good and he's never in the playoffs. More people might know who Randy Arozarena is right now because the playoffs are what matter. All right, we are going to take a very quick break. When we come back, Matt and I are going to go through our top 20 free agent list as ordered on MLB.com and make some predictions. We'll be right back.
You know what's a tough pill to swallow? Watching your team strand runners. You know what's an easy pill to swallow? The new daily multivitamin from official MLB partner Roman. The peppermint-coated pills are created by doctors and backed by science. Whether you're a five-tool player or just looking to support your general health, the 23 ingredients target men's everyday nutrient needs and overall well-being. Visit GetRoman.com/MLB today to learn more and bring your A-game every day.
Welcome back to the Ballpark Dimensions podcast. Mike Petriello and Matt Myers here. If you were to navigate over to MLB.com, you would see a story by our friend and colleague Anthony Kastrovitz, where he has ranked the top 25 free agents. We are going to go through, Matt and I are, and we're going to take the top 20. Top 22, really, because we're going to exclude Marcus Stroman and Kevin Gausman, who accepted their qualifying offers, will be returning to the Mets and Giants, respectively. So we're going to take the remaining top 20, banter about them a little bit, but then really come up with predictions for where they're going to go. And I'm kind of interested to see where, maybe not the stars go. Like, to me, it's clear there's like a big four, right? Like Realmuto, Bauer, Springer, and LeMahieu. I'm really interested to see how Matt and I might differ on some of the lower guys. But we're going to go in Anthony's order. Number one on his list, JT Realmuto, catcher from the Phillies. I don't think it's a slam dunk that he is like the best catcher in baseball, because there, you know, you might argue for Grandal, you might argue for some other guys, but he's clearly the best catcher available in what's like a surprisingly deep catcher market. I think Phillies fans will lose their minds if they traded Sixto Sanchez for him and do not get him to return. Matt, where's he going? How do you value a 30-year-old catcher?
There's a lot of like, I wouldn't say foregone conclusion, but it seems like a lot of people seem to think it is a fait accompli that the Mets are going to sign JT Realmuto because they need a catcher. They've got a new owner who looks poised to at least make a splash somewhere in free agency. And I always do like the kind of the logic of taking a good player from one of your division rivals, because it kind of enhances the impact of it. So for just like the Phillies signing Zach Wheeler from the Mets potentially signing JT Realmuto could have that kind of outsized impact. That said, I think he's going to end up back with the Phillies.
Yeah, I don't have a good feeling on this one. I think you're right that people just sort of assume Steve Cohen is going to drop like $1,100 billion and sign every player. I think you're right, because if you look at the teams that like badly need a catcher, you know, there's some non-contenders, certainly, but I think about like the Rays aren't going to sign him, right? Like the Rockies and the Rangers. Like, I think you're right. I think the Phillies need him so badly. I just don't know what to make of the Phillies, because I don't know who's running the show. And there's an argument that they are the fifth best team in that division, which they almost just were. I agree with you. Back to the Phillies. I don't like that we agree, by the way, on the first.
I kind of thought you were going to say Mets, but you know, let's keep it moving.
All right, number two is Trevor Bauer, who just won the National League Cy Young Award. He did have a 1.73 ERA plus. He has really turned himself into an elite level pitcher. Will Leach and I, by the way, we are kind of writing up like a separate free agent draft together that has not been published yet, which, Matt, you haven't even read yet. There is a line that Will Leach came up with in there that made me laugh a great deal. And he was talking about how Bauer, you know, had been okay for a couple of years, really good in 2018, not really that good in 2019. And he referred to Bauer as Loud Gil Mesh, which I thought was pretty funny. I do take issue with a little bit of the Bauer mythology here. That seems to indicate that through the sheer power of hard work and science, he turned himself from just like a guy into an elite pitcher. He was the number three overall pick out of a very good baseball school at UCLA. He won the Golden Spikes Award. You know, he's not a total nobody. I obviously respect that he, you know, has gone into the lab and helped put Driveline on the map. I wish he was not so abrasive to people on social media, but I'm pushing back on the narrative a little bit. Either way, the man did just win the Cy Young Award, without a doubt the best pitcher available. He has talked in the past about taking one-year deals. He's walked that back a little bit. I actually think now is the worst time to take a one-year deal because you'll never, ever have a better platform year than a Cy Young and a 1.73 ERA. Where's Trevor Bauer going?
I think he's going to the Mets. I think that Sandy Alderson coming out basically and saying on radio, like, I really like this guy. We're in the entertainment business. And I think that, like, the stuff, like, I think that he would be a good influence on the pitchers on our staff because of, like, his sort of advanced training techniques and maybe, like, jumpstart some of what the research and development that the Mets are trying to do. Like, it's so rare for a GM to go out, or he's not the GM, but for, you know, a front office official to go out publicly and be like, yeah, I really like this guy. I'd love him on our team. It sort of, to me, that says, like, we're going to really try and get this guy. And I think that, like, there's something about Bauer's personality besides just the money, which I think the Mets are prepared to spend, of just, like, being able to be in a sort of have that platform of playing in New York and being at the center of it all in the first year under Steve Cohen. That's my prediction.
I do think the Mets are going to spend big. I think the desperate need for a starter is a little lessened now that Stroman is going back there. I think he's coming to New York, though. I think he's going to go to the Yankees. I think the Yankees desperately need starting pitching help because at the moment, 3/5 of their rotation are free agents, Tanaka, Hap, and Paxton, right? So it's Cole and then maybe Jordan Montgomery, a whole ton of question marks. I know he's got history, right? Cole and Bauer, I know all that. He would probably be, I don't know, I don't want to say a good fit in New York, but he certainly likes the stage and the Yankees can afford him. So I'm going Yankees. We'll both have him in New York.
Fair enough.
Number three, George Springer, who is formerly of the Houston Astros outfielder. And I'm going to jump the gun and give you my prediction here. I haven't yet picked the Mets. George Springer is going to the Mets. And I think the reason for that is, you know, we know they're going to make a big splash. I haven't said Real Muto there. I haven't said Bauer there. What they really need and have needed for a long time is a true center fielder. You know, you've kind of had Nimmo there and he's been okay. And you've kind of had Conforto for a little bit and he's been maybe a little less than okay. And there's a lot of left-handed bats. Those guys are lefties. Dom Smith is a lefty. You put Springer in the middle, all of a sudden that outfield is fantastic. And he can stay there for a couple years, slide over to a corner at that point. George Springer is going to go to the Mets, not just because he's from Connecticut. I don't actually care about that part too much, but because the fit makes too much sense.
I agree with you on the fit. I actually think of all these free agents, for the reasons you stated, he does fit best with the Mets. If not for Alderson's comments, I think I would have predicted him to the Mets. I don't really know what to make of Springer. You know, like MLB Trade Rumors does their predictions and they have the White Sox on Springer. And I just don't really see that. And I think that the staff at MLB Trade Rumors does a great job. It just seems like, you know, they've got Luis Robert. It sort of, and I know that Springer would be fine in a corner, but it seems like you hurt some of his value by putting him in a corner. So I'm not really sure. I'm going to throw out, without a ton of conviction, the Cardinals.
Now that is interesting. I have a hard time seeing the Cardinals being the team that signs a big ticket free agent this year, just based on non-tendering Colton Wong. But they absolutely have a desperate need for outfield defense, right? Or outfield offense, excuse me. So then what do you do? Do you have, what, Fowler in a corner and then O'Neill, Carlson, Bader all fighting each other?
That's why I said not a ton of conviction. But I think one of the things that I think that's why I value someone like Springer is that, like, there's versatility there. There's some baked in versatility. Whereas, like, for example, if you sign him, you can play him in center field for now and maybe move him to left or right field in a couple of years. And you know that, like, you'll always be able to find a spot for him. That's why I like just signing up the middle players have that extra value because, like, there's somewhere for them to go as opposed to, you know, more of a DH type that we'll get to in a second where, like, if they don't really hit, then you're kind of stuck with a roster. It really burns you because it's a roster spot. You're not going to cut them. And then they kind of lose their value pretty quickly. So it's one of those things where it's like, you know what? He's better than what we have. So why don't we bring him in and we can figure it out? Because as we talked about, stars in depth is the way to go. And, like, I don't think we're at the point where we need to be like, oh, we have to make way for Dylan Carlson just yet. Or, like, you know, build our future around Tyler O'Neill. These are players you want to have on your team. But Springer is, you know, a level above them.
Okay, I'll say Mets. Matt will say Cardinals. I will be right. Matt will be wrong. I think that the next guy in the list here, so this is DJ LeMahieu. This is sort of like the end of the elite top level list for me. LeMahieu obviously just had two very, very good years with the Yankees. I'm really getting a kick out of people looking at the fact that he hit better at home in Yankee Stadium because, like, 2 years ago. That's exactly what they said when he was coming out of Colorado. I'm not worried that much about this. He cannot be shifted. I looked this up the other day. He hasn't been shifted legitimately in like 5 years. Can play a couple of infield spots. Well, he's not young necessarily. He'll be 32. And that's, I think, the kind of profile that fits in on basically every team. Like, there's maybe the Astros, I guess. There's not really a team I can think of that could not find room for DJ LeMahieu. So when I was thinking about where he might go, you could kind of guess anywhere and be right. But I was thinking to myself, well, what's a team that has pretty good pitching, wants to contend, and has an enormous problem on offense, especially in the infield? And that team to me is the Milwaukee Brewers, right? You could move Keston Hiro to first base. You could play LeMahieu at first base. You could play LeMahieu at third base. They do not have offense. Like, their lineup, aside from Christian Yelich and Lorenzo Cain, if he comes back, is honestly pretty dreadful, but I like their pitching. So I'm going to say that the Brewers will step up and go get LeMahieu.
Interesting choice. Not where I would have gone, but I like the logic behind it. To me, this goes back, similar to what I was saying about some of the value of the Mets getting Realmuto from a division rival. To me, the teams I'd be scared of would be the Blue Jays and the Red Sox. The Red Sox, just because they might want to tweak the Yankees, and the Blue Jays, because while it's a little bit of a weird fit, because you probably have to play LeMahieu at third base. I mean, LeMahieu has legitimately been the Yankees' best player the last 2 years. If they lose him, that's a huge ding for them. That's why I think he is ultimately going to stay with the Yankees, and they will do everything they can to bring him back. So my prediction is LeMahieu comes back to, he stays with the Yankees, but I think that it would be really fascinating if the Blue Jays or Red Sox went all out to get him.
I think that's totally reasonable. I think they do want to keep him. In my fictional world, I just had them spending a bunch of money on Trevor Bauer, and this at least avoids the problem of, well, do you get a shortstop? Do you move Gleyber Torres to second base? Because like, that's a whole other thing. Number five, Marcelo Ozuna, who just had a huge year for the Braves after two like only okay years for the Cardinals. He is 30 years old. I don't want to say he can't play the outfield and has to be a DH, but I'm not really sure I'd end that sentence. So Marcelo Ozuna, where do you place him?
I think that the comfort with the Braves is going to be such that the Braves will bring him back. And also just the fact that like they, because of the really kind of, you know, below market deals they've locked up for, Ronald Acuña Jr. and Ozzie Albies locked up for, that they have sort of probably have a little more freedom to make this kind of move. And that's why I think he'll stay there.
Yeah, I think I'm leaning towards that way as well. When I think about some of the other teams that really could use some offense in the outfield, like obviously the Indians could use an outfield bat. Do I see them ponying up for him? Is he that terribly different from Franmil Reyes? You know, not really. It feels like it's maybe too soon for, you know, the Tigers or the Mariners or somebody to jump in on this. I'm going to say there's an outside chance that the Cubs go nuts and do something weird, but I actually agree with you. I think the fit here with the Braves is kind of perfect, and I think that's where he'll go back to. Number six on Anthony's list was Marcus Stroman, who accepted the qualifying offer, returning to the Mets. Number seven to me is maybe the most confusing free agent in the entire market. I have no idea what to make of Marcus Semien at all. He spent like 5 years being okay. You know, defense wasn't great. Offense was like slightly below average. Then in 2019, massive season. Finished third in the AL MVP, huge hitting season, improvement on defense. And then 2020 was kind of back to where he'd been. He was injured a little bit, and I hate to put too much emphasis on a part of this partial season, but at the moment, it sure seems to me like 2019 is the fluke. He has also got to consider the fact that next year, the shortstop market is absolutely ludicrous. Lindor will be out there. Seager, Story, Baez, Correa. Does he want to sign a one-year deal and go back out in that? Probably not. Where is Marcus Semien? I guess the question is, who is Marcus Semien?
I don't really know. And I think that's, I think it's hard to discuss him without discussing all the shortstops. And I guess we can make straight up predictions for those other guys as we go down the list. But I think it's a really interesting group because you've got him, you've got Didi Gregorius, you've got Andrelton Simmons, and you have the shortstop coming over from the KBO, Haesung Kim, right? So it's like, how do you really, I'm sure these are four players where like the teams are going to value them very differently. You know, I mean, Anthony has Semien as his highest ranked of that group, but like I could see, you know, you could probably order the four of them in four different ways. So I think it's really, really hard to know. I think that like I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up back with the A's, frankly, when all is said and done, that like, depending on how the market plays out, the A's still kind of need a shortstop, and that he has had his career year there. So like, I could see the A's kind of waiting it out, and that's where he ends up.
I almost think he might go to the Angels or the Phillies, right? I'm thinking about teams that desperately need a shortstop. I guess the Angels could play David Fletcher if they really needed to. But yeah, I don't think he's going to get like a big long-term deal like you might have expected last winter. I don't think he's going to want to sign a one-year deal. So I think you're going to have a team. You know what? I'm going to change my mind entirely here. You know where he's going to end up? The Reds, right? Do the Reds have a shortstop right now? Could you name the Reds shortstop if the season started today?
No, and I think it's kind of like musical chairs, right? It's like the Reds, the Phillies, the A's, like all these guys, like this group, you know, the Angels. These group is gonna these names that we're talking about are gonna end up mixing and matching with these clubs. Like the Reds and Phillies are definitely each gonna get one of these guys. It's just kind of a matter of which one they get.
So I'm gonna say Simeon to the Reds. I'm gonna say Simmons to the A's, and then I guess that means I got to put Gregory somewhere. I know Yankee fans want him to go back to the Yankees, but that seems unlikely. So let's say Gregory is to, who did I leave out? The Angels? How about the Angels? We'll go with that. All right. Number eight, Michael Brantley, the man known as a professional hitter, which I guess is kind of a cliche, but maybe it's true in his case. I was a little surprised he didn't get a qualifying offer again after Cleveland did, you know, failed the same thing a couple years ago. Outfielder, but you know, kind of also more of a DH. Great contact, reliably above average hitter, is not young, 33 years old. He feels to me like he's not a building block so much as like the last piece you add when you're ready to win, right? So where is he going to be?
He's a tough one because I think, you know, this is one of those that where it depends, it kind of plays out a little bit of the is the National League going to have a DH? Because suddenly he becomes a lot more appealing to NL clubs in a DH world. And so like, I think we'll probably get some sort of resolution on that soon just because we kind of have to for teams to plan for the offseason. I'm sure guys like Marcell Ozuna and Brantley, for that matter, are really anxious to know like, hey, when is this going to happen? I'm going to say, assume it happens and say that he ends up with the Nationals.
I'm going to take the coward's way out here. The Astros need outfielders, right? Like all three of their starting outfielders are free agents. And I think Kyle Tucker played well enough that he probably deserves a job, but that team still needs some bats. He was comfortable there. We know at least they'll have the DH. I'm sending Michael Brantley right back to Houston. That's lame, right? That's just kind of picking the chalk.
Yeah, but it makes sense. I mean, some of these, it really makes sense. So, you know, I can't blame you.
Speaking of being lame and picking the chalk and sending a guy right back to where he came from, number 10, Justin Turner. Dodgers. I can't believe... What's that?
Dodgers,
of course. Right. I cannot believe this makes me feel so old that Justin Turner has now been an above average hitter for the Dodgers for 7 years. It feels to me like just the other day that the Mets non-tendered him and he went to the Dodgers and reworked his swing and became a superstar. 7 years. How is that possible? He's still a consistently above average hitter. He's an okay third baseman. He's probably not your long-term option there, but you know, maybe a first base, third base, DH-ish if that's around. Option. It's really, really hard for me to see him going anywhere aside from the Dodgers.
Yeah, there may not be more of a stone cold lock right in the recent season than him re-signing with the Dodgers.
It's such a lock. I'm actually surprised it hasn't already been announced because that seems like it should happen at any minute. All right, we're gonna take a quick break here. We will come back and do the second half of our top 20 free agent predictions.
I'm Xavier Scruggs, host of The Bigs. And this ain't your average sports podcast. This is MLB's first player-to-player show. You'll hear behind-the-scenes insights from guys like Chicago White Sox shortstop Tim Anderson.
You know, I was the youngest, and, you know, being black coming up, man, it was definitely weird, you know, trying to have some locker room presence. I formed myself into a player I am today, so now there's a lot of respect that comes with that.
Los Angeles Dodgers pitcher David Price.
Double A was in Montgomery. We had six guys staying in a two-bedroom. I slept on an air mattress under the dining room table.
And my guy, St. Louis Cardinals pitcher Jack Flaherty.
My mom was scared. She was like, it's a scary place to be in because I don't want, you know, she saw what happened to Kaepernick.
The best way to hear these conversations is to subscribe. Find the show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever else you listen.
Welcome back to the MLB.com Ballpark Dimensions podcast. Matt, we are on name number 11 of our 1 to 20 free agent predictions list. We just both said Justin Turner was very clearly going back to the Dodgers. Here's another guy who I think I could easily see going back to the only team he's known. Masahiro Tanaka, number 11. Where's he going for you?
Yeah, it's hard. It feels lame, but it's feels hard to see him going anywhere but the Yankees. You know, he's had success there. It just feels like a really good fit. They need pitching. They need starting pitching. So at least some starting pitching certainty. And I guess, like, you know, there's been rumors of him having, like, being on the verge of needing elbow surgery for years, but it hasn't happened. So he's obviously found a good working relationship with the Yankees medical staff and pitching coaches. So it just feels it similar to Turner. It sort of feels it would seem strange for him to end up anywhere else.
Yeah, I think I kind of agree with you on this. I mean, we know the Yankees need more than one starter, right? So let's say they do what I said. Cole, Bauer, now they bring back Tanaka. You know, Montgomery's your fourth starter. You kind of piece together number five from Severino if he comes back, or Herman if he comes back, or Davey Garcia. They always seem to like a guy who has already succeeded in the Bronx. So I'm gonna agree with you there. The next name on the list is actually another Yankee starting pitcher, James Paxton, who, you know, I guess has had constant injuries. And I feel like everybody likes to say he's going to go to the Blue Jays because he's Canadian. That feels lazy to me. And they also just already signed a hard throwing lefty who's had a lot of issues in Robbie Wright. I don't think he's going to the Blue Jays. I have an idea. It's a bad idea, but let's hear your bad idea first.
He's a weird one because you can still dream on him. And it's kind of like, well, if we get the good James Paxton, I remember a couple years ago when the Yankees traded for him, that was like a big trade, right? It was like, oh, this guy is going to be the missing piece for the Yankees rotation, and it didn't really pan out. I'm getting kind of like, we're getting down to the point where I'm really just kind of like, you know, I like to kind of play a little just kind of gut feel with archetypes and narratives. I'm getting kind of like a Twins feel from him. Just feels like they need pitching. They could always use some upside, and there's something about that just feels like a match for me.
That's a good one. I was thinking the Red Sox need any pitcher who is ambulatory, so that's a start. I was thinking that the Mariners might have interest in bringing him back, but here's where I'm actually going to put him. I'm going to send him out to the San Francisco Giants, and they have really started to look like a team that has done a good job with reclamation projects. Like, Kevin Gausman was obviously very good. They got some interesting work out of Drew Smyly. You know, they don't have much of a rotation behind Cueto and Gausman. Like, is Logan Webb your number three starter? I don't know. If you're a pitcher, is there anywhere else you'd rather be than that ballpark, even though it was a little more hitter friendly this year? So James Paxton on a 1 year with an option kind of deal to rebuild his value with the Giants. I think I don't want to say I'm confident in that, because I'm like literally making this up as we're talking, but I could totally see that making sense.
Fair enough.
Our first reliever is here, Liam Hendricks, who you could probably argue was the single best reliever in baseball this year and last year. And yet he was designated for assignment just over 2 years ago. It's been a very weird career path for Liam Hendricks. Where is he going to go? Like, everybody needs a reliever. Who's going to sign this reliever?
I think Hendricks is being a little undersold in the free agent discussion for the reasons you mentioned. Obviously, I've talked about him my affinity for him on this podcast before. I do think he has a strong case as the best reliever in baseball. And if you look at, you know, all the free agents, you know, there aren't many who you can say, oh, this guy is definitely one of like the top five at his position, right? Realmuto is clearly one of the top five catchers. I'm not sure Trevor Bauer is one of the top five pitchers. He's in the conversation, but it's not like a lock. George Springer is probably one of the top five center fielders. And then after that, it gets a little, I guess LeMahieu is a top five second baseman, but it gets kind of hazy right around there. Whereas I think you could say with some pretty, understanding the volatility of relievers, I still think that like he's legitimately one of the top five relievers in the game, and that there's some real value there. The other thing I like about, actually, it's weird, my feeling on signing relievers has changed over the years, because with relievers, you, even if they sort of like regress, you still have a place for them in your bullpen. It's sort of like the opposite problem of what I was talking about before, where, like, you know, if you sign JT Realmuto and he hits a wall, you're kind of stuck with him and you can't really get anything from him. Whereas like if Liam Hendricks goes from being your number one reliever to your number four reliever over the course of the contract, yeah, that's a disappointment, but at least like he's still providing some value to you in that role. So I think that he's going to go to the Phillies because they desperately need bullpen help. And it would be an easy way to fill that hole.
Yeah, I was also thinking of the team that maybe needs 10 new relief pitchers. And I guess you could say the Red Sox are that as well. But yeah, I don't know what to make of the Phillies. Like, you have Harper, you have Zach Wheeler, you have Aaron Nola, you have Hoskins. Like, you know, you've got talent there. Alec Baum, who just came up. You have talent and a ton of work, and you can't start with that core and not, like, build around them to improve. But then again, I don't know who's working in the front office. You have to sign conservatively 5 relievers, I think, this winter. Might as well start with the best one. Now, we just went from one of Matt's favorite names to one of my favorite names, Jackie Bradley Jr. I have been on the Jackie Bradley train for like 5 years, and I have been consistently disappointed because his hard hit numbers are so good, and he's just wildly inconsistent. I remember like the first 2 years he came up in 2013-14, he was arguably the worst hitter in baseball. And then the next 2 years, he was really, really good, right? Looked like he'd be a star. And then the next 3 years, it was kind of meh. And then this year was really good. And he pairs all that with some of the most elite defense in baseball in the outfield. I think there's only actually 2 center fielders on the market, Springer and Bradley. And after that, you're out of luck. So I thought about the Phillies for Bradley because I don't really have a center fielder, but I haven't sent anybody to Toronto yet. And I think the Blue Jays make a lot of sense here. They're in a position to, you know, contend and be aggressive right now. Their outfield defense was truly wretched, right? And they've got a lot of righties out there. You know, Grichuk's a righty, Gurriel's a righty, Teoscar Hernandez is a righty. So you put Bradley in center, you push everybody else to the corners, you improve your defense. If you get anything out of him on offense, it's a bonus. And he still gets to play a couple games a year in center field in Fenway, which I think he's probably done better than anyone who ever lived.
I actually think that makes sense. You know, what's funny is that we always joke that the Rockies should sign Jackie Bradley Jr. because of the spacious center field, and he is an elite defensive center fielder. And I'm looking at Fangraph's depth chart projections, and at center field, the Rockies rank 30th. So I'm sitting here, and I'm like, you know who really should sign him is the Rockies.
That's 30th out of how many teams?
30.
30, right.
If he was a right-handed hitter, I would say Jackie Bradley Jr. is a stone-cold lock for the Mets, but they don't need another left-handed hitter. I think he's going to the Astros. They are losing basically their entire outfield. I just think it's a really good fit.
I'll buy that one. All right. Next on our list, Taijuan Walker. I have a lot of issues with trying to figure out who exactly he is. He was at one point a very highly touted prospect with the Mariners, got traded to Arizona, got hurt, went back to Seattle, was okay, was traded to Toronto. And in 6 starts, put up a 1.37 ERA, which is lovely, but, you know, wildly unsupported by underlying metrics. I think he and James McCann are the 2 guys I look at where I don't quite get the hype around them. I think he's fine. I think he's a 4th or 5th starter. Like, who couldn't use that? It's perfectly fine. I just have never been all that high on him. And I guess that means I could send him literally anywhere. I'm going to say he goes back to Seattle because why not?
Yeah, it's I think we're at the point where it's kind of what we were talking about with the shortstops, where there's a few right-handed pitchers who kind of come into this group together that are kind of like, well, they could go to any number of places. Like, I think of him, I think of Jake Odorizzi as another name where it's like, you know, you don't get that excited about, but he could have some value. And I also probably, I'll admit that I probably differ with our friend Anthony Castrofitz's rankings here. I would probably rank Charlie Morton higher than Taijuan Walker, although we'll get to Morton in a second because he does crack the top 20. So looking at teams that need pitchers, I feel like he seems like more of the kind of guy who's going to slot in at like kind of like a mediocre team who's like, oh, well, you know, maybe there's still a little bit upside there. Taijuan Walker, I don't know.
He seemed to like Toronto, but they got Robbie Ray. I don't know.
I think, yeah, I was actually gonna put Odorizzi in Toronto, and have them not bring back. You know, Taijuan Walker's gonna go to the Angels.
Okay, I could see it. There you go. I'll buy it. Number 15 on our list is someone Matt referenced earlier. Is Ha-Seong Kim, the shortstop from Korea, who is 25 years old. Just put up a really impressive line, 308, 399, 526 with 30 homers. And he is expected to be posted this month. or early next month by his Korean team, which means that any major league team can negotiate and sign with him. It's hard to know what to make of him. You know, he's highly regarded. He's young. There's a lot of shortstops available this year and even more next year. So I sort of think where he's going to want to go is a team that's going to give him a ton of playing time right away. Just like, say, you are our shortstop, you know, maybe not like have to bounce around. And I'm trying to think of like an up and coming team that doesn't necessarily need like a win right this second player, but someone who's going to be young enough to like grow with maybe an impressive pitching core and a questionable offense. And I'm going to say he ends up with the Tigers.
Interesting. This is one of those guys where I think the value of him is going to vary wildly across the industry. You know, John Paul Morosi wrote a piece for MLB.com a few weeks ago that was pretty measured in sort of the scouting reports on how good Kim is going to be, kind of like an average player. Whereas if, you know, for example, if you go to MLB Trade Rumors, they have him ranked as the number seven free agent in this year's class, a little more bullish on him. And they have him going to the Rangers, which I think makes a fair amount of sense. Similar to what you're talking about in terms of a team that's an up and coming team that is, it won't need to be like the guy, but will get a lot of playing time. They can move around Andrus, and like there's an opportunity for him there. In the past, the Rangers have been pretty aggressive in going after free agents in from Japan and Korea. So I think that there's you could see a little bit of a fit there.
Yeah, I could buy that for sure. I cannot overstate how weak the Texas offense was and has been. Obviously, I love Joey Gallo. Isaiah Kiner-Falefa is an okay hitter and a very good fielder, and that might be it. Like, it feels to me like it's time to move on from the Andrus and Ruki Odor combination in the middle infield, and I think Kim would be a perfect fit for that. Next on our list, Colton Wong. I think everybody was surprised that the Cardinals declined his $12.5 million club option. I think they look at it as the predictor of a weak winter, and that very well might be true. I wasn't shocked. Like, I don't think defense gets paid in the same way offense does. You know, he's never been a great bat. He's had his moments. The defense is very good. But how much is a strong second baseman worth in a world where there are fewer balls in play, everything's in the air, or strikeouts? So I was not as surprised by this as everybody else was. That being said, he's a very good defender. He's a bat that won't kill you. Somebody's going to sign him, and I think somebody's going to be pretty happy for it. And so I'm thinking he might fit with the Red Sox because they don't really have much of a right side of the infield anymore. They tried to have Jose Peraza. It didn't really work out. He's already gone. Michael Chavis is kicking around. I could easily see him there on a reasonable 2 or 3 year deal.
Well, that was going to be my pick, but you kind of just, you
can still pick it. We could be the same.
No, that's no fun. I'm going to say the Indians. I think that, you know, they don't really have a second baseman either. And like, he's not going to break the bank, and he's kind of like a known quantity. So that's my pick.
All right. We are almost to the end of our list here. Next up is Charlie Morton. And I have so many questions about Charlie Morton. He's been very good for like 4 years now, except he's 37, except he reportedly wants to stay near Florida. Even his fastball velocity is confusing. As I tweeted out earlier, it is down if you look at it year over year, but up if you look at it month over month within the 2020 season. He still might retire. He has mentioned that. I think he's going to play. I think he's going to want to stay in the East. And I think I have a really strong fit for him here. I have a team that is in the Southeast that is a contending team that could use a 37-year-old pitcher, that has a very young and talented and mostly unproven starting rotation, that tried to fill it with a veteran pitcher last year, two of them actually. Neither one of them worked out. I'm talking about Cole Hamels and Felix Hernandez, and I'm talking about Charlie Morton going back to the team in Atlanta that drafted him in 2002. I feel really good about this one.
I think that's a really good fit. And I think that if not the Rays, it will be the Braves. So I'll stay with you on that front.
Speaking of older players, next on our list, Nelson Cruz, who is a DH and does not yet know if the National League will have a DH, which I think is a bigger problem for him than it is for Marcell Ozuna. If it's only the American League, he's got some limited options. I could easily see him just staying with Minnesota. You know, they sure seem to like him there. What are you up to with Cruz?
Yeah, it's not quite the Justin Turner level there, but he's been so good there. There's definitely like, he's loved by the fans. He just, you know, he's like a local humanitarian. He's really involved in the community. It just feels like, you know, it'll probably be another 1 year deal. And that's great for, you know, certainly the Twins would be in favor of that. So that's, it feels, if not, it's close to a no-brainer as far as I'm concerned.
Number 19 on our list, someone we actually already talked about a little bit, Andrelton Simmons. I think I said he was going to the A's. Did you end up having a choice on him?
Well, I think I had Simeon going back to the A's, and I think that Gregorius will go to the Reds, so I could see him going to the Phillies.
All right, our final name on the list, and then I'm just going to kind of cherry pick a name after that I want to talk about anyway, Mike Minor, who's had himself a really interesting up and down career. He had a little bit of Cy Young support in 2019, you know, lost velocity in 2020, was traded to the A's, wasn't generally that good, but, you know, is only a year removed from being a pretty valuable starter. I think this is another one of those guys you talked about where it's like, oh yeah, I could see him ending up pretty much anywhere. So why don't you just throw a dart at one of the teams for Mike Minor?
Cardinals, you know, a team that wants to contend, but could always needs a little bit of pitching depth, or the Cubs, one of those teams.
Yeah. Angels. He's going to the Angels for me. I mean, I think you could say that about any pitcher and not be wrong.
He feels kind of Angels-y, but yeah, that's, I mean, you know, but like, you know, we didn't even get, you know, there's a couple other pitchers that, you know, we didn't mention that didn't make the top 20 that I think are interesting. Like Odorizzi, as I said, who I think will end up with the Blue Jays. But then again, I mean, this is actually, you know, it's not a bad year to be a starting pitcher, I think, because there's actually a middle of the road starting pitcher, because there's a lot of demand and there's not a clear, after Bauer, there's a lot of just like, it's unclear, you know, like who's the best. So like, if you're kind of in that tier two, or tier two and three are kind of huge. And so I think there's, you know, and there's a lot of good teams that are looking for starting pitching depth. So, you know, we'll see. I think it could vary widely of like how teams get valued and how play, what kind of contracts some of these guys get, depending on who signs first, who signs last, and kind of like how the supply and demand of goes over the course of the offseason.
Yeah, I'm looking at some of the names in Anthony's honorable mention list. And can you imagine in like, I don't know, 2014 maybe, realizing that you could piece together a rotation of Corey Kluber, John Lester, Jake Arrieta, and Cole Hamels? Because if you like name value, there's that. There were
Quintana is a free agent too. He was
Chris Archer is a free agent. You know, there were a couple of names I was surprised that he did not have a little higher. I was surprised Brad Hand was not on this list, who got non-tendered by Cleveland, though he's very good.
I'm not that big of a Brad Hand guy, I got to say. I think I might rather have, amongst the relievers, I think I'd probably rather have Trinan, maybe even Trevor Rosenthal. There's something about Hand's repertoire that I feel like it's just against good teams. Like when I watch him face good teams, I just don't feel like, oh, this is, you know, this is lights out. And he's one of those guys where his stat page and does not match my eye test. When I watch him, I'm like, really? Those are the stats he puts up? And maybe that's unfair of me, because like I usually try and be data driven in my approach. But I think that I feel like he's working on a fine line, and it could go south quickly.
Yeah, I do understand what you're saying there. I think his velocity is down a little bit. I completely agree with everything you said. I still think the outcome has been so good that if the Dodgers can give Trinan 1 year and $10 million last year, that a bunch of teams should have wanted to do the same for Hand this year. And then the one name that we didn't get to that I did want to talk about briefly is Jock Peterson. And I know Jock Peterson hit 190 this year. He is a very specific kind of player for a very specific role, right? He's a left-handed power hitter. He will not hit lefties at all. He is unplayable against lefty pitchers. He's a competent corner outfielder. He's not great. He won't kill you. And I'm thinking to myself, well, where can we send him? What team could use like a powerful lefty corner outfielder, maybe to replace the lefty outfielder they have who was supposed to hit for power and didn't? That to me is the Chicago White Sox. I never understood the Nomar Mazara move last year. He wasn't very good. If you can lose Mazara, or, you know, put him on the bench or whatever, put Jock Peterson in the outfield there, now that is the setup for me.
That's a pretty good fit. You know, our friend of the podcast, Randy Wilkins, our former guest, the filmmaker and big Yankee fan, has been preaching Peterson to the Yankees pretty heavily on Twitter during short porch. Yeah, I think there's a fit there. I think that, you know, the Yankees have actually had some smoke and mirrors with some of those bench guys the last couple of years, like Mike Tauchman and Mike Ford, who were not very good this year. And that, like, you know, the Yankees also have a lot of right-handed power hitters, and that, like, there would definitely be at bats for Peterson with the Yankees, as not like a straight platoon, but like, you know, you could sort of you could move him around between DH and the corners and even center sometimes and like find spots for you. He would get a lot of playing time on the Yankees, probably similar to the kind of playing time he gets on the Dodgers, because anytime a righty starts, you want him in the lineup.
Here is the last player I want to ask you about. And I do just briefly want to mention that I like Drew Smyly, who went up from like a 90 mile an hour fastball to almost 94 with the Giants last year. I know what the rumors have said today. Do you actually think there's a reasonable scenario where Yadi Molina leaves the Cardinals?
I don't. It's kind of hard to see. And just because also it's like, I think that they still need a catcher for one.
Right.
It's not like he'll break the bank. It's just hard to imagine them letting him go. I like when players stay with teams. I think it'd be kind of lame if he left, to be honest with you. So I hope he stays. I mean, the fact of the matter, if you look at like, the respect he still has in the game, I'm not even sure if his pop times are still as good as they ever were. But if you look at like attempted steals against across the league this year, like the Cardinals had by far the fewest attempted stolen bases against this year in baseball. People like, he's still like,
that's been true for years.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, it's remarkable. And I think that like, you know, when people talk about, you know, Yadi Molina, is he a Hall of Famer? And like, I'm not saying stolen bases are such a big part of the game right now that, you know, this is like, you know, adding, you know, two wins a year or whatever. But I think there are certain things, and this kind of goes back to how WAR has not always properly captured what catchers do. And I think that Molina has always been someone who does things that like aren't captured by WAR. And that's like kind of a perfect example of it. And the fact that he still has that like club in his bag, so to speak, at whatever age 37 is pretty impressive.
Yeah, I agree with you completely. I don't think we have successfully quantified everything that catchers can do. I also think this isn't really based in stats or anything. He's got more value to the Cardinals than he does any other team, right? Like, I don't think he's got the same gravitas if he shows up in the Yankees clubhouse as he does in St. Louis. I'm not sure I can actually back that up. That is our show for this week. As we've been talking, my wife has just G-chatted me to say that she just did an interview about her career with her high school teacher, and this man from the Midwest is apparently a big fan of mine, so I'm going to go find out what that's about. That's a nice ego boost. Thanks for listening to our nice
flex to end the podcast.
Yeah, listen, this literally happened as we were talking. I couldn't help but put that in here. I hope he's a podcast listener. I don't know if he is, but if he is, hello to anonymous Midwestern Ohio high school teacher. That is our show for this week. Thanks for listening to our free agent draft, our prediction draft. This is the MLB.com Ballpark Dimensions podcast.